Hey, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Mary, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Oh, she's back. We didn't have her last week. And of course, I'm here with Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline. Hi, Brian.
Well, I wanted a sound effect, too.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, we were sound effectless last week, but that's all right.
Well, you did enough talking, so.
So how are you?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Still house hunting.
Still house hunting, huh?
Yep.
Oh, there's a lot to choose from, apparently. Everything's...
It's amazing. There's a lot to choose from, but I can't find one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough out there. It's only going to get worse, too.
Yeah, but now, you know, better buy before the economy turns around.
You think it's going to turn around?
In about a couple of months.
A couple of months you think it's going to turn around?
Uh-huh, as soon as Bush leaves office.
I don't know. Depends.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to turn around overnight, but there's going to be a upswing. It'll start going back up again.
Oh, gosh.
I can tell you're so excited about it.
But because there's nothing to choose from, politically.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But. You know, I mean...
We all know who's going to win anyway, so.
Who?
McCain.
You think?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Brian, there you go again. Gosh darn it. Oh, we're going to have Sarah Palin. It's going to be our vice president. Oh, my gosh. Gosh darn it. Oh, she scares me. She really
Well, the vice president
out.
Has no authority anyway, so, you know.
Yeah. It's basically like we've never had a vice president loaded with estrogen either, so.
Well, you know, it's just like having, you know, the... An overpaid administrative assistant.
Did you catch the clip on Saturday Night Live right after
nope.
the debate? Oh, it was hysterical. The woman who plays Palin is just, I mean, like a dead ringer for her. And she comes out, you know, like, and they did right from the beginning, when they did the beginning of the debate, and Sarah Palin came out and she shook Joe Biden?
Yeah, Joe something Biden's like that, hand. Yeah.
And she said, oh, may I call you Joe, you know. Well, on Saturday Night Live, she comes out and she goes, oh, may I call you Joe? And you know, I guess he acknowledges. And as she's walking away, she goes, that's good because I already worked it into three parts of my speech or whatever.
Okay.
Oh, it was hysterical. I mean, the woman looks just like her, but she does the voice, everything. But, well, and all politics aside, I don't think anything's going to get too positive in a few months. It's still going to be...
Well, it's still going to be in the crapper, but like I said, it's going to start an upswing again.
Well, let's hope. Let's hope. In the meantime, I have to remind people, because, wow, we're getting down to the Halloween wire here. On Saturday, October 18th, I'm going to be at Paranormal Books and Curiosities in Asbury Park from 2 to 4 p.m. Now, are you coming to that, Brian?
I got to see.
Because I think if Jezebel is up for it, I don't know if I want to drive her down the parkway, though. That's the only thing that scares me. That's a long ride.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'll definitely take Jezebel because that night I'll be out in Washington at the Washington Theater doing a book signing from 8 to 9:30. I'll definitely bring Jezebel to that, but I'm a little apprehensive about, you know, driving her that far down the parkway. God forbid something did
Just
go wrong.
Just say, no, I'm not doing it.
You know, my little Hyundai gets about 31 miles to the gallon. It's a lot better if you're going to be going like 100 miles down to the Jersey Shore from Hackettstown versus, you know, a 1983 mm-hmm. V8. 6,700-pound car. Oh, no. But in any event, I'll be at the Paranormal Books and Curiosities in Asbury Park, October 18th from 2 to 4. And that night, like I said, Washington Theater out in Warren County. It's on Route 57, which is Washington Ave, basically. And I'll be there from 8 to 9:30, definitely, with Jezebel. So I hope everybody will come on out and buy a book, and I'll sign it for you.
And, for free.
Yeah, I'll sign it for free, but you got to buy the book. You know. And sometimes I may get generous and offer more of a discount than what's on our website, people.
Especially if you give her a drink.
It's a generous, not loose. But I have to mention, I don't know if you saw this back in the beginning of October, around October 1st, hundreds of people were standing outside a Catholic hospital in Springfield, Massachusetts, by what they say looked like an image of the Virgin Mary in a window. Sister Kathleen Sullivan, senior vice president at Mercy Medical Center, said the image in a vacant second-story office was first noticed on Tuesday morning. So I guess that must have been Tuesday of that week. You know, this was back on October 1st when it hit the news. Get this, as many as 300 people, some weeping, gathered outside the building to take photographs, pray, and say the rosary. That's probably, you know, the most, like, devoutness a hospital's seen in I don't know how long. Sullivan said while the cause of the image was not immediately clear, she was humbled by the show of faith. A spokesman for the Springfield Diocese.
How do you say that again?
Diocese?
Oh, man. See, I'm choking. Oh, my gosh. The recovering Catholic in me is, like, choking me, saying, how could you blow the pronunciation of Diocese.
Whatever.
I suddenly have the urge to genuflect and make penance. I'm so sorry. Anyway, said that it could take church years to investigate. Deirdre Gogel, who came to see the image, called it comforting at a time of turmoil for the nation. So there you go. Not only is the Virgin Mary showing up in pieces of toast and God knows what on eBay, there she was in the window of a Catholic hospital.
How long before that window pane shows up on eBay?
Now, on the same date, it was a busy day, October 1st, out in Casper, Wyoming, a police officer didn't think much of a call to shoo off a bothersome kitty cat at a home in Casper, Wyoming. Then, the officer arrived at the home of Beverly Hood. It was no ordinary domestic feline, but a male mountain lion weighing 80 to 90 pounds. Hood says she was inside when she first saw the mountain lion lying on her porch Monday. Hood says the lion hissed at her, but she wasn't scared. Is she, like, brain dead? You know, if you see a mountain lion, I'm sure is beautiful. I love cats, all sizes, big cats, little cats, house cats. But as much as I love cats, if I saw one on my porch and it hissed at me, I would not be like, oh, wow, how cute. You know, I'm not scared. I would be scared. You know, I'd be fascinated, too, because it's beautiful, but come on. Anyway, she called 911, Animal Control, and the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. Hood reported that she had a bothersome big cat. A dispatcher told Abelman that it was a house cat. So we had a little disconnect there, okay? She said a big cat, but the dispatcher said it was a house cat. So a game warden tranquilized the mountain lion, and the animal was relocated, which that's nice. I'm glad the kitty cat wasn't hurt. We actually had one, a black bear in Denville a week or two ago. And I saw the picture of it. It was actually my press release came out about the book in the local paper, but the page before it is a color picture of this guy carrying the tranquilized, a fast asleep black bear over his, like the bear's got his head over his shoulder and his big front paws are hanging down like a big loose baby, and he just looks so cuddly. And I've always thought bears look snuggly and cuddly, and I've wanted to pet one in the worst way, but of course, you know, I mean, one swipe of their paw and you're basically, you know, a car wash skirt, you know, you're just like slit open. But, you know, but it, in this picture, it's just adorable. But that was right there in Denville. They got this black bear. At least they didn't kill it. They tranquilized, gunned it down, and then they carried it off and they let it wake up in the woods where it would be safe, you know. But, you know, amazing how nature is just encroaching on us. I think as we're encroaching on nature.
Well, yeah, it's not nature encroaching on us. It's us encroaching on nature.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's back, Brian.
Yes. So what?
How do you sleep at night knowing these insects are infiltrating your apartment?
Uh-huh.
Well, in case anybody hears this brrr, 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 in the background, it's Brian's cricket. There it goes again.
Well, it's you. You started talking about nature. He's like, oh, nature.
Nature. Nature calls. Well, anyway, let's do meeting announcements, shall we?
Oh, why not?
Cool. All right. The New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society has two free, open to the public meetings every month. You can show up. We always have a share and scare. If you have any questionable evidence, photographs, recordings, bring it with you. Okay? Next meeting up at bat is the Central Jersey Division on November 5th, taking place in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish will be on hand to lead the meeting as well as answer your questions. Next, we have the North Jersey Division meeting, taking place on November 18th in the Community Center in Hackettstown, located at 293 Main Street. This meeting runs from 6:30 to 8 p.m. If you are confused, it's always the third Tuesday is the North Jersey. Always the first Wednesday is the Central Jersey. And beyond that, you can go to njghs.net and you will see right on the homepage the meetings, dates, times, places, map quest links, what have you. Plus, you can also sign up for our NJGHS Yahoo groups, where there's a link right there on the homepage. It's free. And that way, when we update the calendar, which I try to do with the meeting announcements, it'll blast you a reminder into your email box about the meeting. But you'll also get all the other little news flashes and things that come out, just like some people got a news flash back when we were going to record our Halloween show. And in that news flash, I put a question. And I said, if anyone can answer this question, you'll already get a t-shirt. And that, Steve, now if you're not a member of the Yahoo groups, you blew it. You didn't get that question emailed to you. So sign up. It's free. I'm the only one who does the emailing, so you're not inundated. Don't worry. Okay? And we'll be right back after this break. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
Hey, this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, and certified paranormal investigator with the NJGHS. When I start getting homesick for New Jersey, I tune in to Lauren Bryan. So kick back. You're listening to The Deadline.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Now, do you have a paranormal experience or a ghost encounter to tell? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. For each Parashare you submit and we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Only one credit is necessary. Or you may cash in 10 credits for a natal chart. That's a $75 value. We'll keep track of the Parashares and let you know when you hit 10. And then you can send me your birth date, birth time, and birthplace, and I will send you a full-color natal chart printout and my handwritten notes, too. Are you ready for this, Brian? You're sitting down, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a Parashare this week.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like, oh my God. We really have one.
Who'd we have to pay to write one?
Didn't. And I've even written back to this person saying, you know, do you want membership? Because, or do you want to wait and have 10 saved up? But haven't heard back from Craig, who's from Bridgewater, who submitted this Parashare. My first wife's, and he puts in parentheses, I'm widowed, grandfather, passed in 1972, just after she and I got married. In 1979, we'd just bought a new condo and had a new neighbor couple over for dinner. Excuse me. They were deeply into the Ouija board and brought one with them for the evening's entertainment. After explaining the safety rules, our new friends guided us in the use of the board, and we all decided to try to contact my wife's grandfather. Since he was the most recently deceased person we knew, we seemed to connect. But after about 15 minutes of asking questions with no meaningful responses, the pointer spelled out T-O-A-S-T, toast, We couldn't figure out what this meant, so we decided to verify we were really speaking to my wife's grandfather. My wife knew her grandfather's favorite song was Peg, Oh My Heart. Sorry. So, she expected that answer when she asked our guest for his favorite song. The answer we got back was Roberta. By this time, we were pretty creeped out once we realized we were connected to someone posing as my wife's grandfather. The four of us decided to go through the process of shutting the door and breaking any connections. With the tension released, my wife went into the kitchen to start some coffee and saw the metal spatula had fallen off its hook and had landed in one of the toaster's slots. T-O-A-S-T. But the real shocker came about 3 weeks later when my wife went to visit her grandmother, her grandfather's widow, basically. During her visit, my wife asked if she was right about Peg, Oh My Heart, as being her grandfather's favorite song. Her grandmother said, no, that was his father's favorite song. Your grandfather would spend hours sitting and listening to the operetta, Roberta. Pretty good. They could have had an electrical problem with that spatula landing in the toaster. He was trying to warn her. And he even said the right operetta. So that's a very good perisher. Now, I don't endorse fiddling with the Ouija board, people, but, you know, if you have stories like that, send them in. You know, why not get membership for free?
Really?
You know.
Well, it takes a couple minutes of your time.
Yeah, and it's email. It's not like I'm asking you to sit there, you know, with a feather quill and ink and
not that we're stopping you.
Yeah. Yeah, put it on a carrier pigeon leg and have it sent to me. No, just email it to the deadline at njghs.net. So, very good story, Craig. Let me know if you want membership or if you want to wait and hold out and send in 9 more parashares and get a natal chart. And we'll be right back. Now's your chance to take what should be your last ride and get out alive. Morbid Mobile Tours lets you climb in through the suicide door or end loader and head out to the infamous Shades of Death Road in Warren County. While you're seated in the very space where dead bodies took the ride to their final resting place, you'll hear the grim tales of ghosts, murder, and disease. Jezebel is a beautiful 1983 Cadillac hearse who served her time in funeral processions and now is dying to take you with her on this haunted trail. Tours are $25 per victim and depart from the Hackettstown train station. To book your tour, visit Morbid Mobile Tours page by clicking the license plate on the homepage of the njghs.net website, Morbid Mobile Tours. We're waiting to take you away. If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Hey, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, What is the name given to a man cursed by the devil to be a dog who is driven from village to village by its need to change? This was in Russian lore. You know what's funny? In the book it said it was white Russian lore. I left that out because I thought they made a mistake, because a white Russian's a drink like a black Russian's a drink. I didn't know there was such distinction of lore. You know, I figured it would just be Russian lore. Anyway, the answer is Walkalak. Now, that's W-A-W-K-A-L-A-K. I'm sure with a Russian accent it would be Volf, you know, because they usually pronounce their W's as V's, so it's probably Volkalak or Volkalak, you know. I don't know.
If I really cared, I'd ask my people at work, but...
Yeah, really. You know, just tripping over them. Anyway, this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of not too hard. In honor of the impending holiday, Halloween, here's a witch-related question. In Greek mythology, what is the name of the powerful goddess who is the patron of magic and witchcraft? Bonus points if you can name her three aspects. Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win my book, Ghost Hunting New Jersey! On sale now at Barnes & Noble, Borders Books, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, woo, and njghs.net. Thank you. I do want to remind people that Patrick Burns of True TV's Haunting Evidence is scheduled to be on our October 24th show, and Stephen LaChance, author of The Uninvited and founder of the Missouri Paranormal Research, will be on our show November 7th. However, we're interviewing these two men on October 21st. So if you'd like to send in your comments and questions for either of these wonderful men, forerunners in the paranormal field, please do so. Send them to the deadline at njghs.net prior to October 21st. Okay. In the interim, you can catch the new one-hour episodes. Well, there's a new one each week. It's on Saturdays of Haunting Evidence at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You will have to check your local cable guide for the True TV. It's True TV, T-R-U, True TV Network, channel in your area. And, of course, you can pick up Stephen LaChance's book at BarnesandNoble.com as well as in the stores. It's very good. It's one of those, you know, kind of sleep with an extra nightlight type of thing after you read it, you know?
Okay.
Oh, you know, speaking of which, you know, this I got to talk to Stephen about, too. When I woke up around 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
What a shock, you waking up in the middle of the night.
And I said, you know what, let me start that book, and that book being The Uninvited. And I don't even know what chapter I got up to, and I finally was like, ooh, I'm getting drowsy. So I laid back down, and I dozed, went right into a dream. A dream where I had a daughter and two younger sons. Never seen these kids before in my life. In the book, he has a daughter, two younger sons, okay?
Okay.
Never seen these kids before in my life. Somehow we come into this town where it's just like a lot of backwoods, inbred, freaked out people. And I say to the kids, you know, well, this one like farmer dude who's like missing teeth and has straw hanging out his mouth and his overalls on with no shirt comes up to me and he's like, "Well, we're gonna have to teach y'all a lesson." And I'm like, "Teach us a lesson about what? What are you talking about? You're gonna see the way we do it in our neck of the woods. We just take everything we can out of the kitchen. We fight with it. Now, let's be honest, there are things that are dangerous in the kitchen. Okay, you know, there's knives, there's like, you know, mallets to make like veal scallopini, you know, to pummel the meat. Just a simple thing like a rolling pin. And I have my great-grandmother's rolling pin. Let me tell you, those were rolling pins back in the day where you could really knock somebody's head in. So I was like, I'm looking at this guy going, you can't be serious. And next thing I know, a car pulls up and people jump out and they're carrying all kinds of implements from kitchens and stuff starts flying through the air. I'm seeing rolling pins flying and even an iron. I don't know who the hell threw an iron, but all this stuff, all this like spatulas. And I'm like, I grab the kids. I'm like, my Hyundai is right up the street. Come on. I jump in and I'm sitting in the back seat and it's not my Hyundai. It's a black Hyundai like mine, but it's one of the hatchback style, which is really weird. I have the sedan style. And I'm like, And the girl is sitting in the front seat with the driver's seat. I'm like, get out. Get in back. Why am I back here? I need to be up there to drive. And now these people are charging. They're coming after us. I'm like, come on. I got to get in the front seat so I can get this car and get us out of here. And I woke up. And I'm like, okay, this is one of those really good books because it's already affecting my dreams. And then I read more during the day, and I kind of took a little nap. I went into another dream. Don't even remember. All I know is I went into a dream, you know, and I don't know if I was talking to Stephen LaChance in the dream or what. It was something centered on him. I can tell you, that means psychically to me, this is the real deal what this guy wrote in here. Yes, I mean, definitely the real deal that it affected me that way just reading about this. So I can't even imagine, like, actually going to the Union Screaming House. So definitely get the book and let me know if you read it and you get that kind of weirdness with your dream thing.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Well, that's going to conclude our show for this week. Right, Brian?
Yeah, okay, psycho.
You know... Don't you get weird dreams? Weird dreams.
Not that I usually remember.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Sometimes you wake up in a cold sweat and you know you've dreamt something really scary, but you don't even have the recall of it. But I guess in a way that's a blessing, but...
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, baby.
Our wonderful team leader is Gregory and Sherry Irish and Dina Trinko. Of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.